Good afternoon and or morning or where it is where you're watching us from. My name is Clint Kaler and I lead a church and ministry kind of based in the Midwest here, Southwest Missouri, called Transfigured. And if you're new with us, then welcome. Thanks for joining us. Glad you found us. Everything that we're doing here is for your sake and for the sake of the kingdom. And we're going to say some things over the course of the next 45 minutes or so that are going to profoundly alter, if you let it, and if you diligently heed it, they're going to profoundly alter your viewpoint and your practical application, as we would say, of the Word of God. Many don't understand the Word of God. Let me just back up even before that. Many don't read the Word of God. And as we see in modern church, and I kind of use this phrase every now and then, I actually got an email invited me to the Modern Church Leaders Conference, and everything in the conference, they gave the whole list of what the conference was about, the Modern Church Leader Conference that's coming up. It's some, I don't know who it's put on by, but it kind of is a case in point. Everything on there had nothing to do with the Word of God. Had to do with lights, had to do with, you know, your technique, had to do with sound, had to do with all these elements that play no part in advancing the kingdom of God. In fact, none of the things that they are listed there in their conference had anything were even available to the early church. Okay, so whatever they, however they got the job done in the early church, none of these things were available to them. So I'm not sure how they got their job done. But I use this phrase "modern church" a lot because the prevailing influence upon the church is, you know, the world is certainly there, but the prevailing influence upon the church in the modern church, and when I say that, I don't even mean the actual church. I mean the modern church that everybody looks at and says, "I want no part of that," is traditions of men, traditions of denominations, teachings of church denominations and groups, things taught by men, things derived by men, things conceived and reasoned by men, and they don't proceed largely from the Word of God. That's why we have a modern church that can't do much. Okay, that's a big problem. And what we're going to say is going to go almost completely opposite of what you've heard if you've been listening to the teachers of the modern church. I'm not against people. I'm for Jesus. But I am against the devil and his works and the lies that he propagates through people who teach. Okay, so a lot of this is going to come across new if you're new with us, but we're simply declaring to you the Word of God so that you could grow up into Christ in every way, which as we lay out, as the Word of God lays out, is the goal for every believer. It is the will of God. If you're sitting on the other side of this camera wondering what God wants to do with you, what the will of God is for your life, it is the same for every believer, which is to grow up into Christ in every way, to grow up into Him. Whatever you see in Jesus Christ is perfect theology for you. It is to follow Him. That's the call. That's the thing that Jesus said, follow me, okay? That means you're going to become what He is and do what He does. And He even promised you'll do the same works I do and greater. Okay, there's a lot of pitfalls and things in the way that block you from this understanding in its simplicity, its utterly simplicity, utterly simplistic. A lot of things that block you, and all of these things that are blocking you are things that have to do with your mind. Okay, so we're going to take a few minutes to strip away some traditions of men, some teachings of men, and present to you the Word of God that was revealed to the original apostles. Mostly I'm going to read from Paul today. He had the most to say about these things because maybe he was the most mature in these things. We see Paul doing the same works as Christ and greater. We don't see evidence of Paul failing and not being able to prove the will of God. So before I get started, let me just give you a couple places to go to. If you want to check us out online, we are at www.transfigured.church. And if you want to follow us and take part in our training, then I invite you to download our app, and you can download this wherever you download apps. It's free, and it's got our discipleship training cycle on there, and you can follow along the teaching, the training. This is going to lay a brand new foundation in your life. Might make you mad, but sometimes you have to get mad about something before you change. So download that wherever you download apps. We are streaming multiple times a week, and you'll have access to all of those streams, whether they're public or private, from the app. So if you're hungry to grow, the simple answer is, hey, just get the app. If you're near to where we're meeting, then come and see us. We meet the headquarters here. We meet in Carthage, Missouri. Just get on the website and you can find that. We meet at 1 p.m. on Sundays. We also meet more towards Central Missouri on Fridays. So just get on there and find out the places and the times. And if you are interested in starting either a study group, or we call them host homes, you're willing and desiring to host a gathering for discipleship. We'll provide you with the resources to do that. If you're wanting to plant a church with us or a house church with us, we'll be glad to talk to you about that and get that going. We are very much about taking over territory and taking over cities and regions. In fact, one of the methods that we train people with is door-to-door, and people usually say the word evangelism, but our, maybe what your idea of evangelism is different than ours, different than the Word of God, but we go door-to-door, street-to-street, neighborhood-to-neighborhood, city-to-city in our region and other regions, training people how to heal the sick. We literally go door-to-door and tell them we belong to a group of folks who are devoted to the eradication of sickness and disease, and we're in your neighborhood today healing the sick in the name of Jesus. Who in your house needs to be healed? And we have seen hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of healings and miracles, people being healed of all manner of sickness and disease. When COVID went through, we didn't stop. We didn't slow down. Saw tons of people delivered from COVID, instantly healed, completely healed. We've seen broken bones instantly healed. We've seen blind eyes instantly opened, deaf ears instantly opened, all kinds of weird diseases I've never heard of. We've seen broken by the power of the name of Jesus and the Spirit of God. So this is the goal, to take over. This is the goal, to bring every person into mature sonship. We go with the goal of healing the sick, but we spend a lot of time teaching Christians the truth and tearing down strongholds right there on the front porch. And we don't do this in a way that where we're stuffing it down their throat. They have questions and we have answers, and we engage with them, show them the scriptures, teach them. I mean, it's kind of like, the only people out there that are doing this besides us in our region are Mormons. And sometimes we'll find a Jehovah's Witness, okay? But the Mormons are the only ones out there that are at least as diligent as we are. And what do those guys do? They come with materials, they come with things to read, and they come with a presentation, and they come with their version of the Word of God, which is they're a cult, but they are. You have to admire their diligence and their organization. How much more should we, who have the living God dwelling in us by the person of the Holy Spirit, able to do what Jesus did in greater, how much more should we not go in the same manner? So, obviously, we should be, and if we're not, I think it's because there's a problem. So we go out there and we present the truth to them, and we tear down a lot of things that they've heard. You can tell with the prevailing influence of an area by what believers and sometimes even non-believers present to us as the truth, as the gospel. And so we have a lot of great time. It's just like what Jesus did. He went from place to place teaching and healing the sick. And we're doing the same thing. We're going place to place. It just happens to be door to door. So if you're interested in hooking up with us, getting some of these things in you, growing up into Christ, I promise you, we can get it done if you will diligently apply the things that we're teaching. Okay? Host a Bible study. Host a gathering for discipleship. Plant a church with us. Let's get the job done. All right. Today, I want to talk about some practical steps that you can put in place for maturity. And I'm going to just start with scripture and just make a few comments, and some different things will come out based on who's listening and the things that are going on with you in your particular place of maturity. But maybe let's just start. I mentioned it. So maybe let's just start in Romans 8:29. This is the will of God for every believer. This is going to oppose most of what you have heard from church teaching, probably, unless you've just got a rock solid, guy teaching the Word of God. I'm going to start in Romans 8, verse 29. I'm going to read verse 29. It says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. Okay? So that is the will of God for you. In fact, this will was predetermined ahead of time. Okay? And there's a plan that we talk about in our training cycle, that of a predestined list of things that God decided upon before he created man. It was laid out in advance. One of them happens to be that Christ was crucified from before the foundation of the world. We were predestined to be adopted as sons. We were predestined to be conformed into his image. We were predestined for good works. Jesus said, the same works I do, you will do in greater. Okay? So you have to understand if you have the question, what is God doing in me? What does he want to do? He wants to conform you to the image of his Son. Okay? In every way. In every way. Let's jump over to Ephesians 4, verse 11, and let's see again Paul talking about this. Paul said, I teach the same thing everywhere in all the churches, which are my ways, which are in Christ. Why is he doing this? Because he is laboring. He called it the message of reconciliation, which may not be something you've connected the dots to, but he is laboring to present every man perfect in Christ. Ephesians 4:11 says this, and he gave the apostles, when Christ ascended, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So there's an equipping that needs to happen so that you can do the work of the ministry. What is the ministry? That's not just whatever you want to do. We're talking about the ministry of the kingdom of God as we see through Jesus Christ. Jesus went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. He was a man possessed for liberation of captives. Okay? And he was a man. Although he was God, he took off everything that made him God and entered life in a new state of existence. This is Philippians 3 talking about this, that of a man in human flesh, and came as a servant. So he didn't enter the earth as God. He didn't heal the sick because he was God. He came as a man, albeit a sinless man. There was no sin in him, neither could he sin. And he was nonetheless a man in human flesh, just like us, yet without sin. And he was indwelt by the Spirit of God. And if you have received the Spirit, if you are in Christ and you have received the Spirit of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now you exist as he existed. There's no difference. The only thing that might be different that you have to take responsibility for is the renewal of your mind, which we'll get to here in a second. But for the work of ministry, that's the same ministry as Jesus Christ. It's not a different ministry. Okay? It's not your Lutheran ministry or your Baptist ministry or whatever, you know, division that you've tried to bring to the Word of God through your denomination. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is to establish the kingdom until the will of God is done by every language group on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? There's no getting around it. Now, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And we teach these things in depth in the training cycle. To mature manhood. Listen to this. To mature manhood. He gave the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist to equip the saints unto mature manhood. In case you're wondering what this phrase, mature manhood, means, let's continue reading. It says, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It is the will of God that you grow, that you're equipped and you grow unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children. If you are born again, you're born in the initial state that you're in is a child. It's an infant in Christ, and you must renew your mind in order to be transformed and so that you can function in the fullness of Christ. So we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Listen, teachers out there, they are cunning and crafty, and they've got schemes at play that mostly have to do with money. Okay? Who falls for these religious schemes? Infants. You know, who gets hurt by church? Infants. Let me ask this question. Since Christ is our example of a mature Son of God, of the fullness of God dwelling in a man, how many schemes did Christ get taken for by the religious crowd? None. He was privy to their motives and their agendas, and he called it out. He understood their motives, and that is how we are supposed to live, not falling for every wind of doctrine that's out there, not falling for every little scheme and plan that men come up with to build the following for themselves, to make more money, and these kinds of things that we see so prevalent in religion today. Rather, verse 16, speaking the truth in love, he's going to say it again in a different way, we are to grow up into Christ in every way. It didn't say we are to grow up into him, or in him. It says we're to grow up into him who is the head, into Christ. Okay? Now, you can grow up in, you know, I live here in Carthage, Missouri. I can grow up in Carthage, but I can't grow up into Carthage. I can, however, grow up into Christ, and this is the entire point. All of God's plans revolve around this, and this is why Paul says, and I'm going to go here next, in Colossians 1, I believe it's 28 and 29, here's what Paul says about growing up into Christ. He says, him we proclaim, speaking of Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Verse 29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. So this is the job that the apostles were about. This is the job that the early church leaders were about, to proclaim him, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. And it's for a purpose. Here's what he says, that we may present everyone, mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of his energy that he powerfully works in me. Okay, this is Paul and the other apostles obeying what we call the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all nations. He says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go into all nations, go into all language groups and make disciples. Okay, this is what Paul is doing. What is a disciple? Presenting every man mature in Christ, presenting everyone. He said, go into all nations. Paul's saying it here, to present everyone mature in Christ. If that's true, we need to see somewhere where Jesus declares himself what it means to make a disciple. And we see that in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 40. He said, no disciple is above his teacher, but when fully trained, and that's the same word that he uses here in Ephesians 4:11, to equip the saints, but when fully equipped, the teacher or the disciple will become as the teacher. No disciple is above his teacher, but when fully equipped, the disciple will become as the teacher. So that's enough proof there for us to understand what Paul was saying. Now, let me go to Romans 12:2, and this is Paul explaining this again in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. This is what the New Testament, this is the theme in the New Testament. This is what we're talking about. This is the actual walking out of the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached, because all of these, why the goal of presenting every man perfect? Okay, because Christ came that we could escape, this is the writings of Peter, that we could escape the unrighteousness of this world, that we could escape the depravity of this world. And we don't escape the depravity and the unrighteousness of this world through dying. You know, we don't escape it through dying. That would make death our Savior, not Jesus. We escape the depravity of this world by being reborn. See, when you're a human, just a natural born human on this earth, you come from the seed of Adam, and that seed is fallen from God. It's not of God at all. Okay, it's of the devil. When you are born into this world through your mother, your Lord is the devil. You carry his nature, and you inherit sin from the first Adam. And no matter how good you are or how clean you live your life, you can never escape that state. You are enslaved and imprisoned by it with no hope, okay? And your end, if you remain in that state, will be the same end as the devil, because you are of him. You have the same nature that he does, okay? Now, in order to escape that state, you have to be adopted. You have to be refathered. You have to be translated out of, the Bible says, the kingdom of darkness, but we can even say the kingdom of Adam, because that is the kingdom of darkness. You have to be translated out of that man into another man. You have to be adopted out of Adam into Christ. Okay, so we were all born. This is part of how we present the gospel of the kingdom to people that aren't saved. It worked yesterday brilliantly. We've got a guy wonderfully born again and baptized in the Spirit on his front porch. You have to be born of the Spirit. We were all born of our mother, and we entered the world the natural way, and we came into our family as a result. Now, our natural family. Now, to enter God's family or God's kingdom, you must be born of God, or as the Bible says, born of the Spirit. Some translations say born again. So if you want to enter God's family or God's kingdom, then you have to be born a second time. And in that being born, everything in you is recreated. Your spirit and the nature of you, which is in your spirit, is completely recreated. The old nature is cut off from you, and you are recreated with a brand new nature, and thereby becoming a son so that you could receive the Spirit of God. The whole point of you becoming a son is to receive the Spirit. So if you haven't received the Spirit yet, you haven't fully engaged in becoming a son yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'll read the scripture. It's Galatians 4:6 if you want to get a head start and turn there. But let's start in Romans 12, verse 2. This is Paul teaching people about how to see a transformation from a babe in Christ or an infant into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or growing up into him in every way. May not be what you think. It's so much more practical, so much more hands-on. It's not mystical at all. Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world. In the Greek, that's a picture of being pushed into a mold. Man, the world, the spirit of this world is pushy. It wants you to accept and adopt and conform to their ways with the threat of retribution if they have to. But Paul is giving a command here now from our apostle, Paul. He is giving a command, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, if we're going to be transformed, what are we going to be transformed into? Well, we have to go back to the Word of God that states, again, in Romans 8:29, that we were predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ, that we might be the firstborn of many brothers. Okay? So, Jesus calls you his brother. Even though he's our Lord, he calls you his brother because we have the same Father, and he causes us to be born again into the same state that he exists in, which makes you equal to him. I know that really trips your religious trigger, but it's true. We have the same authority. See, we have, as a son, we have inherited God's Spirit. We have inherited Christ's authority. And we have been made participants, Peter writes, of the divine nature. Okay? So a minute ago, I was talking about Christ. He's a sinless man indwelt by God's Spirit and the Son of God. That is the definition of a Son of God. And that is who he made you, a sinless man. If you believe you still have sin, you have not been born again yet. You have, at the very least, not had your mind renewed. You are a sinless man who stops sinning and who receives the Spirit to indwell them that makes you what Christ is. If you don't believe that, you don't know the New Testament at all. Because the whole point is that all nations would come into the image of Christ, be conformed into the image of Christ, grow up into Christ in every way, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that the will of God could be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so much scripture backs this up. See, Jesus didn't come so we could escape this world. He came so that we could subdue it. This is what John writes in 1 John. Whoever is born of God subdues the world. Let's get back to Romans 12, chapter 2. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Okay, so how are we going to be transformed? You're going to have to be transformed. And what are we being transformed into? The mature man that we see in Jesus Christ. Same authority, same ability, same, everything we see Jesus doing, we're going to do the same. He promises only you will do it greater. Wow, how far are we from that mark as the modern church? Okay? But you're going to have to, hearing these things, you're going to have to begin to adopt this for yourself. You're going to have to begin to take this as your premier responsibility. Okay? You can't look around and say, well, no one else is doing this, and think you're going to get by with it, because everything is going to come to a head at the end of this age when Christ returns. You see, when Jesus came saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he commanded his apostles, his disciples and apostles later, to proclaim, as you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was he speaking of? Okay, he's speaking of after his death and burial and resurrection, and after he sends the Holy Spirit into the church, he's speaking of a time at the end of the age that he called the regeneration. Okay? That is the return of Jesus Christ, where those who are dead in Christ explode out of the ground, and we who are alive when he returns are caught up together with him to be joined to him in all eternity. And in that moment, we receive a indestructible, immortal body just like his. And the course of time, there's judgments handed out, and the heavens and earth are made new. And this is prophesied through the whole Old Testament, man. Everybody knew about this end, the new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness reigns and dwells again. Okay? He's returning all things back to their original state. But if you want to inherit the kingdom, you have to grow up into Christ. See, if you consider yourself a Christian and you're continuing to sin, you are not a son. You are Bible calls it a son of disobedience. And this is what Paul says, you cannot expect to be an inheritor of the kingdom of God. You cannot expect to enter the kingdom where sin is completely dealt with and taken away, and you walk in with some habitual sin in your life? Never. You will not inherit eternal life at the arrival of Jesus Christ. That's why in 1 Peter 2:24, it says that that Jesus hung on the cross that we might die to sin. As a son of God, you must die to sin. It makes sense if you remember all these verses we've read today. If you're going to grow up into Christ in every way, did Jesus walk around sinning? No. You have the same nature as him, that you might die to sin. See, sin no longer has hold of you. Why do you continue to sin if you are? Because you like it. If you are born again and baptized in the Spirit and still sinning, it's because you like it. Not because you don't have the fruit of self-control available to you by the Spirit of God. Okay, so this is why Paul said, we warn everyone. We proclaim him, warning everyone. This is the warning that to inherit eternal life, you must grow up into Christ. Okay, now, do not be conformed to this world, therefore. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may prove what is the will of God. There you go. You have to make this your goal, to prove the will of God. Now, Galatians 4:6. So back up this idea about sons in the Spirit here. Galatians 4:6 says this, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. We could also say this, you're no longer a victim, but a son. We could also say it like this, you're no longer an orphan, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Okay? So what are you an heir to? What are you inheriting? You are inheriting God himself. Okay? So, he made you a son. This is what this is saying. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son. Paul talks about this in the chapter prior to this, Galatians 3:13 and 14, that Christ became a curse for us that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's my paraphrased version there. Christ became a curse for us. He hung on the tree for us that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So everything that God did in you in Christ was that he could get his Spirit in you. Because you will not mature into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ without the Spirit. And he tells the Galatians this, do you expect you can come into maturity without the Spirit? So let me make a few comments here about now we're assuming you're a son, and I'll pray for anybody that's not been baptized in the Spirit at the end here and who has not spoken in tongues. But you're going to have to decide as a born-again believer who is, as 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who joins himself to the Lord becomes one spirit with the Lord. You're going to have to decide to sit yourself down and partner with that Spirit until Christ is birthed in you. Okay? This is why you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. Paul says this. Many don't have in mind the things of Christ. They have in mind their own things. That's blocking you from maturity. Leave your life to put on Christ in fullness. Sit down with yourself and discover the Christ that is in you, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the man we see walking around in flesh, that same Spirit that not only was in Christ, but raised him from the dead, that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, now dwells in you, okay? Most people are completely ignorant of that. If you are born again, baptized in the Spirit, you now have the full person of the third person of the Godhead in you, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he gives himself, he doesn't give himself with measure, without measure. So you don't have a partial Holy Spirit. You have the full Holy Spirit. You don't have a different measure of the Holy Spirit than Paul had. Let me say this. You don't have a different measure of the Holy Spirit than Jesus had. The same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Now, this is part of renewing your mind. You have to get this, but then you have to act accordingly. You have to decide to sit down and discover the Christ that is in you. have communion with this Christ and join yourself to him, weld yourself to him, bond yourself to him, that you could be wholly influenced by him and nothing else until you get his mind, until your mind is renewed and transformation is complete. You know, this transformation that Paul speaks about in Romans 12:2 has an end goal. You know, the idea is not that you just continue to grow and grow and grow and grow, and, you know, at some point you have to die. The point is that you are transformed into Christ in fullness on this earth. That's the whole point. But we have had so much opposition to this, okay? We have so much teaching from people who wear ties with lapel mics behind a pulpit against these very things. And I've already given you enough proof here from the Word of God to disprove all of those things that may have entered your mind already through those teachers. Okay, so let me make a few comments wrapping this up here. The person of the Spirit is inside of you, so that you could not live according to sin and the sinful nature, but so that you could live according to Christ and the divine nature. So make your decision. I'm going to live according to Christ and the divine nature. I'm not going to live according to sin and the sinful nature. I choose to live according to Christ and the divine nature. Okay, one of the things that this guy that I won't say his name. Well, I will say his name. His name is Eric. He got born again yesterday. One of the things, and I hear this very often, when we presented the gospel to him and I gave him the invitation to become a son of God, he's like, oh, I want to, but I'm so afraid that if I say yes, I won't be able to back it up on the, you know, after that. I'll fall away. He was so afraid of that. And I had explained to him, hey, this is going to produce a change in you. You're going to be recreated in Christ with a brand new nature, and you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is going to empower you to represent Christ. And this is not going to be like the same struggle you've always had, where you're just convicted and in condemnation because you've heard partial truth and you know you're not living accordingly. This is going to be a divine union between you and God, which empowers you to walk as you know you should. And you know what his immediate response was after that? Okay, I'm ready. Okay, I'm ready. Okay? So you have to make the decision. I'm going to live according to Christ and the divine nature. All right? Now, you have to make this your first priority. You have to work together with the Spirit to manifest Christ in every way. You must make this your first priority. Now, how are we, I think I'm going to go over to Romans 8. How are we going to begin to prioritize in a practical way? Because that's what we're talking about today. That's how I introduced this. How are we going to prioritize in a practical way growing up into Christ? How are we going to prioritize in a practical way, working together with the Spirit to bring yourself into maturity? Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, he said, to set the mind on the flesh is death. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Okay, so if you are setting your mind on flesh, and some translations use carnal nature here or the sinful nature, just to sum it up, if you are setting your mind on sin, if you're setting your mind on the things of this world, if you're setting your mind on the cares of this world, if you're setting your mind on all the ways and reasons why this won't work for you, this is setting your mind on the things of the flesh, okay? That's going to cause death to work in you. You're going to die. I mean, there's no way around it. That's what the Bible says. It's going to cause death to be at work in you. You're not going to move forward into Christ. You're going to die, all right? Now, the rest of the verse says, to set the mind of on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, what does the Spirit have in mind for you? This is the mind of Christ, that you would think what he thinks on and believe what he believes. That your mind and your reasonings and your logic and your opinions and your arguments, that none of these things that are in your mind would oppose Christ in any way. And that's a block for most people. They have opinions and arguments that are opposed to God. Okay? You could be singing your worship songs and enjoying every minute. At the same time, your mindset is on the flesh and you are actively opposing God in you. You cannot mature in this way. In fact, this produces death in you. But to set your mind on the Spirit or the things of the Spirit is to be in a state of life and peace. This is how you walk in divine health. This is how you heal the sick. This is how you begin to mature. For the mind, and remember Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This, he's on the same topic here still. This is just a few chapters later, or prior to. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. King James says, is at enmity with God, is against God, is at war with God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Man, every teacher has left this one out. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Remember, he made you sons so that he could give you his Spirit. Okay, you're not done if you just have a born-again experience and have not received the Spirit. You know, before they went into every nation, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the promise is poured out on you, and you shall receive power and be my witness. Okay, he doesn't say go witnessing. He says, you will be a witness of me, meaning you will be what I am. Okay, now, if you haven't received the Spirit, we're going to do that in a minute, but you have to understand, if you don't have a Spirit, you don't belong to him yet. Okay. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The expectation of the Spirit dwelling in you is that you have a mind set on the things of the Spirit, but your body also experiences the same state of health and life that the body of Jesus Christ experienced when he was on the earth. All right. Now, he goes on and makes a few more comments about the same thing. But in verse 26, he says, I want to bring this up because it ties it into where I want to go, which is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Because this is the key thing, one of the top keys. I would say probably this and renewing your mind with the truth are these two things that you must prioritize in your life if you want to be able to do the Word of God or the works of Christ. Okay, verse 26, we're in Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, that word weakness does not, is sometimes translated infirmities. And if you've got like a King James or something like that, it's going to say, he helps us in our infirmities. Okay, in this context, he is not talking about sickness, although sometimes that word is used for sickness, the same word, that word in the Greek can be used for sickness. In this case, he's not talking about sickness. He's talking about, he's going to actually explain what he's talking about, but he's talking about when we don't know what to pray. Okay, when we find ourselves not knowing how to pray, he calls that a weakness. Okay. Because anywhere where we're not functional in the fullness of Christ is a weakness. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Now, we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, this Spirit that's in us makes up for our weakness or our gap or the part of us that is not functioning in fullness. And this, in context, is praying in the Spirit. This is the groanings of the Spirit through you. This is praying without understanding via the Spirit, which, you know, seems foolish, right? Sounds foolish to people who do not believe. But these groanings and these words and these tongues are the means by which God bridges the gap between where you are in your immaturity and where Christ is in his fullness, that you could present yourself in the fullness. In other words, that you could present yourself as not weak in comparison to Christ. Okay? This is why Paul says, pray in the Spirit at all times. This is also why he said, I pray in the Spirit more than all of you. All right? Now, this is the part of the verse that everyone takes out of context. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Okay? So, you know, this is where the idea and the common saying comes into play. Well, he's going to use that tragedy for your good because he causes all things to work for good. Well, he's going to use this circumstance, you know, to teach you this or that. He's going to use it to work for your good. But, you know, tragedy never works for anyone's good. Lack never works for anyone's good. Poverty never works for anyone's good. What is the context here? The context is mature sonship. This is the Spirit standing in the gap. That's why you have the Spirit standing in the gap, so that you could present yourself unweak in Christ. Or in other words, that you could present yourself in the fullness of Christ by praying in the Spirit. Now, if he's going to work all things together for your good to those who are called according to his purpose, what is the good that he's working towards? What is the purpose and the calling that it mentions here? Read the next verse, verse 29. We've already read it. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. Now, if you've read this verse for years and years out of context, and you may need to go back and study this part again, but the context is that through praying in the Spirit, the weakness that we have, which is representative of the gap between where you are and the fullness of Christ, is brought together. It's woven together. It's, you know, when you if you've ever seen somebody sew and they stitch a seam and then they pull it together, that's what it's talking about here. Through praying in the Spirit, you are pulled together into maturity with Christ. And as it goes on to say, because we were predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. All right. So this is the thing that you got to do. When we talk about practical things, the practical things that you must prioritize. You have got to set yourself down and begin to pray in tongues with no distraction. You have to make this the priority and aim of your life, to present yourself pulled together into him, mature. He who joins himself to the Lord is made one spirit. That joining is praying in the Spirit. He who joins himself to the Lord is made one spirit with the Lord. The problem is we have many people who call themselves Christians, and it's in word only, it's in label. I'm not saying they haven't experienced something. I'm not saying they don't enjoy worshiping the Lord. I'm saying they've never been brought together into one spirit. They've never, their influence is still of the spirit of this age. They're being conformed. They're still conformed to this world and not transformed into maturity. What's the avenue by which we're transformed into maturity? The renewal of the mind. See, if you don't, for example, if you don't believe what Christ believes about healing, for example, because that's a big one, then you don't have the mind of Christ. I know that goes against all of your sensibilities as an American Christian or modern Western-minded Christian, wherever you're watching from. If you don't believe what Christ believes about healing, then you don't have the mind of Christ. And you could say that about any area. If you haven't renewed your mind to the mind of Christ, then you're not going to be able to be pulled together into him, woven together, in order to represent him. to find yourself in a place, as the Weiss translation puts it in Philippians 3, of spiritual maturity beyond which is there is no further progress. Now, I want to read Colossians 1, 28 and 29 again. I started with this. I'm going to wrap it up here as we come to a close. Colossians 1, 28 and 29, it says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature or perfect. Some translations say that's the Greek word teleos, mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of his energy, that he powerfully works in me. This is the ministry of reconciliation. You're reconciling yourself to the fullness of Christ. You're reconciling yourself, which is that weaving together, that bringing together through praying in tongues, through the renewal of your mind, believing what Christ believes. And by the way, part of the mind renewal, part of this is going to happen through praying in tongues. This is not about mental facts. These are about things that you have divine revelation of. And what is the Spirit going to teach you? You know, the Spirit is there to teach you. First of all, Jesus said, I will send you the Spirit of truth. He will lead you into all truth. Okay, you got to believe that. And what is that all truth going to do? It's going to present you mature in Christ. It's going to enable you to begin to believe and adhere to the Word of God and begin to, and most importantly, and this is why we want to be renewed in our mind and transformed into the fullness of Christ, so that we can begin to do, as Paul said, Romans 12:2, prove the will of God. Prove the will of God. Prove the will of God. What is the will of God concerning the sick? That they be healed. What is the will of God concerning the demonized? That they be delivered. What is the will of God for every man on the planet? That they come into spiritual maturity in Christ. Every man, laboring and toiling, Paul said in that verse, to present every man mature in Christ. Okay? If you're distracted, if you have a mind of the flesh, which is full, what is the state of a mindset on the flesh? Completely filled up with distractions, all the cares of this world. You're wrapped up in your emotions. That's where most people are at. They're just wrapped up and tossed around by their emotions. But you, if you are controlled by the Spirit of God, which is a fruit of having a mindset on these things that I've presented to you today, then your experience is not going to be an ocean of tossing and turning waves of emotion, tossing and turning doctrines created by men and demons. You're going to experience peace and life. You know, the more that you begin to experience this peace and life where your emotions serve you instead of ruling you, you're beginning to see you move towards maturity in Christ more and more. Now, practical steps here are, again, Paul exhorted us several times in the New Testament to pray in the Spirit at all times. All right? You're going to have to sit yourself down and focus on these things and begin to bear down and pray in tongues. Listen, just like, let's do this example. It's a little crude, but it's in the Word of God. Paul said, I'm like a woman in childbirth until Christ be formed in you. That's the groanings that he's talking about in Romans chapter 8 that we just read. I'm like a woman in childbirth until Christ be formed in you. You're going to have to get alone with him and begin to bear down in tongues and get control of your mind and get a focus that moves forward into him. You're going to have to get alone, bear down in tongues, pray in the Spirit in a focused manner with an expected end in order to meet the goal, the finish line, which is to become mature in him. This is what the world wants. And I didn't go into it right after Romans 8:29, where he says we were predestined to be conformed into his image. It says that all creation groans for these sons. They groan for the manifestation of the glorious sons of God. Okay? Because against creation's will, it was made subject to death. And we are the ones who are in dominion over death now. And we alone, working with Christ in us, are tasked with, as many times it says, but in Romans, I can't remember the verse. I had it and then it left me. But he says that through death he might destroy the one who holds the dominion of death, that is the devil. Do you know what that word destroy means? That means to make of no effect, to remove the influence of the dominion of death. This is the same thing that Jesus said when he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Okay, this is where you've got to become a soldier. This is where you've got to leave your life. And this is where you've got to take full priority, to bear down, begin praying in the Spirit, separate yourself. Listen, don't start making excuses. Everyone has some time. Everyone can begin to practice discipline in some way and grow in it. Begin to discipline yourself to pray in tongues, to bear down to this goal. A lot of people come to us with not these things in mind. They come to us because they need healing, or they come to us somehow looking for the truth, or they come to us because a family member needs healing or deliverance, which is fine. I would say no one has ever come to us because they were looking for this. They were looking for, tell me how to gain a place of spiritual maturity, which there was no further progress. No one's ever done that. Until I came into this a few years ago, I never heard anybody else even talking about it. So, but this is where you've got, no matter how you came in, this is where you have to go. Begin to pray in the Spirit that that your weakness, which is where you are and where Christ is, that gap could be woven together into Him, joined together in Him, so that you are no longer weak, so that you are no longer a misrepresentation of Jesus Christ. To lay your hands on the sick and to watch them die, that is horrible. And also not representing Christ. No wonder the world is rejecting Jesus. He's weak and powerless and has a church that can't stop sinning and only wants to get the money out of your pocket. No wonder. It's a wonder that America's even still got some semblance of freedom of religion, because our religion has stunk to high heaven. Okay? Get alone. Bear down upon the goal to present yourself mature in Christ. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Give birth to Christ in you by partnering with the Spirit of Christ that is in you. I'm going to pray for you now. I'm going to lay hands on you by faith in Jesus' name for the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who have not received, the moment I complete this prayer, the Spirit of God is going to fill you, and you're going to have not only the gifts of the Spirit, but the gift of tongues, being able to speak and pray in tongues. Okay? So right now, in the name of Jesus, by faith, I lay my hands on you now for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and fire. So in Jesus' name, be filled now, fully filled, overflowing, baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, God Himself indwelling you, setting you free, empowering you, that you could arise in the fullness of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name.